this chat room? Am I the only one in the chat room?
I'm in the chat room. You in the chat room?
I am not. I'm going to get that link open again.
Yep, in the chat room. IRC.chatrealm.net.
Chat realm?
Or you can just go to diamondclub.tv and log in on the web. I should say that in the actual show.
Do.
I just said hello.
What happened?
Now, things are falling off my computer.
Anything important?
Well, one guy's a client's visa. Yeah, so.
Oh, that's your super secure.
Just read the number out to all of us so we can. That way it'll be secure.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, you guys ready? No.
I secured it with a post-it note.
And don't forget those three numbers on the back of the card.
These are two clients who I usually have to. They like paying through Visa. So I'm like, I don't want to keep writing them down.
Yeah, I
keep asking them for them. So
that's funny.
You should get one of the old credit card machines that gives you the carbon copy.
I have carbon.
They're using those in San Francisco today because of the power outage. Yeah.
Nice.
There was one of the reports I read said there's a salad place called Mixed downtown that's just doing that with the, reading the credit cards because they have salad. So they don't need power to make the salads. They've got big windows, so there's natural light. Staying in business. Yeah, so I guess, I haven't seen if the power came back yet.
It's supposed to come back at 1.
Right.
Twitter.com. I've been to Twitter. Have you guys been to Twitter.com?
What's that? I've never heard of it.
Twitter. It's two T's. Three T's. Two Twitter.
Three T's?
Yeah, one T at the top and then two right next to each other.
No, I think I read an article about it.
Yeah, you probably read about it in ValleyWag.
I did.
I only remembered it because
I don't get that on my palm though.
I bookmarked it in Delicious, so I wouldn't forget about it.
Remember, all those things were a thing.
And then I took a picture of it on Flickr and posted it to MySpace.
Oh, hey, you know, I still have a lot of stuff on Flickr. They need to come up with this.
They do too.
They need to find a simple way to transfer it over to like Google or something.
Hey, is Google something I can find on Technorati?
I'm just still using Alta Vista. I haven't switched over to Google yet.
Technorati was a place that I went to on a daily basis.
Technorati helped program Buzz Out Loud. Like, I would look over Technorati to see what was happening. Mm-hmm. I feel like Tech Meme is in some ways the spiritual successor of Technorati, but
oh man. My ranking went down on Podcast Alley too. I was bummed about that.
I pretty much just pay attention to Odeo. I don't.
Odeo.
No, Flickr's going to make it come back. It's going to make it come back. Mark my words.
Yeah, I don't think it ever went away. I think it just people aren't using it the same way they were using it.
Its usage has plummeted. Yeah. When Instagram and Twitter got in their little fight, I started using Flickr again because Flickr still worked as an embed on Twitter. And then I just stopped because no one was seeing it. I don't know. Their biggest problem was they didn't come up with a good app for mobile.
Yeah, it was terrible. Terrible. You know, it's so funny. I'm looking through my old links, like I never cleaned them up. So I'm looking at the old links that I had that I would go to. So like, Feedburner, that was one.
I don't necessarily want to switch from Text America for my mo blogging.
Mo blogging. Remember that was a thing too. Like a thing, not just like a...
Yeah.
Oh man, sometimes I'll still get emails like from these old social networks that I don't even remember ever signing up for, like Pounce. Remember Pounce?
Yeah,
oh,
you get emails
from Pounce.
Pounce. And the other one I get all the time is Raptor.
Oh,
R-A-P-T-R.
I still get those too.
which is like, it's terrible. It's like, what a terrible platform. I don't get
emails from Pounce. I don't think Pounce, like, if you're getting emails from Pounce, it's not the same company. Like, that's
oh, no. I was using that as an example. As an example, I don't get emails from Pounce.
No, but Raptor's one I still, yeah, I should and subscribe.
Yeah.
Because I don't really use that.
I don't even, you know, even when I was using it, I was like, this is terrible. This is a terrible interface. Like, what is this even doing? Like, the only person I ever saw ever do anything was Sebastian, Mashup Man, right? Is that his name?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sebastian Mashup Man.
Yeah, right. Sebastian
Van Dyke. The Mashup Man.
Yeah, the Mashup Man. He used to do stuff for Extra Life, and so I was like, he was the only other person I ever saw on that platform. I'm like, that, but you know,
on which one? Raptor.
On Raptor.
Oh yeah, I only ever saw Veronica. It was weird the way it worked. Like, I didn't ever see you. Like, I should have.
Yeah. I didn't ever understood how Raptor worked. Like, you were just gonna play it, and then it never made sense to me. And then I still do get emails from Elo.
Oh yeah.
Elo's still trying to push their way in. And the one that always I'm like, it's still on my phone, but I never got rid of it, is Peach. Remember Peach?
Yeah, I still have Peach. I actually went through and started deleting some apps that don't work anymore the other day, because Google Spaces is gone. Peach I left. I deleted one of the Elo client ones though.
Yeah, Elo, there was a good chance it was going to be good, but it just died.
You know? Oh, I still have Vine. Oh, what's Vine Camera? I guess Vine Camera is what they turned Vine into. Slingshot.
Slingshot.
Slingshot needs to be updated. I bet it does. Sidewire and Candid are still on my phone.
No, man.
We were just talking about our favorite new ways of sharing information, like Delicious and Friendster.
I was actually sad when MySpace cleaned out pretty much everyone, because there was some good old content there from people who are no longer active on social media that I wish I'd saved. Did some really cool behind the scenes shots of movies and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember Text America. I just mentioned them too, but I had lots of cool photos up on that, and it just disappeared.
And then what was that one place that the one photo place that was going to go down, but then it didn't go down? So I downloaded a bunch of photos from it. It was a thing that Twitter used.
Rings a bell.
Oh, at TwitPic?
TwitPic. Yeah, I grabbed all my photos, and it's like, oh, we're not going anywhere. TwitPic was good. I actually liked TwitPic.
It was handy. Finally, Twitter had to integrate something because everyone was using it.
Yeah, right. It's so funny. I don't even use half these apps on my phone.
I know. Yeah, I need to go through and just clean out.
I use 5 at most.
Mm-hmm.
My bank app.
TossUp. Anybody ever use TossUp?
No.
Toss-up is a pretty cool one. If, like, there is a group of people, say you're at a con, and you tell everybody to go get toss-up, and you're like, where should we eat? So that, you know, and then they get to vote on it.
Okay.
No, in that case, I just say, we're eating here. Because the last time it was a group vote, we ended at a place that I got very upset at the server.
You know, I use Snapchat, which is it's really kind of funny, because I just found out that, like, my kids blocked me on they're my friends, but they blocked me from seeing their stories, because my daughter sort of like let the cat slip out of the bag, because she's like my son Max, she's like, well, look at Max, look at all this stuff he ordered from McDonald's, and I'm like, how come I'm not seeing that? Oh, that's because he's blocked you from the story. I said, how come I never see what you do? She says, I blocked you too.
So, this is this is one of the oldest apps on my iPhone.
Ooh.
The Handy Level. I think I downloaded that the first week the App Store came out.
It's funny.
It still works.
I have the Hockey Canada rule book.
Nice.
That's probably my oldest app.
This one's a little older, but it crashes. Coin Flip doesn't work anymore. Darn it.
I used to have a tone generator for some reason.
Yeah, I have a bunch of stuff on here. I should just get rid of. Sometimes I'll just be like, "Oh, there's a really this sounds like a cool app. I'll download it, and then it'll just end up my phone, and I never ever use it ever again." One of those is one called Acorns. Have you heard of that?
No.
Acorns is aimed at millennials to save. Basically, what it does is it takes the spare change that you would spend, say, on like a coffee or something, and then it invests that.
Oh.
So it rounds it up. It rounds it up.
Yeah.
So basically you sign up and then they round up whatever like
small
change.
They have
change.
Like a 401k type fund.
Yeah, and they give like portfolio stuff and
wait, they make money.
There must be some sort of like they must take a fee or something. I mean when you sign up there must be like a monthly fee or something like that.
You find out you've saved nothing because they've taken that margin.
Well,
you
Peter Pan isn't it, I think it's called Peter Pan is an investing app where they don't charge any transaction fees. They merely make money on holding your money in a bank. So they don't give you interest on anything you haven't put into a stock.
So wait, what bank are they using that they get an interest rate on savings that it makes it worthwhile?
Well, the idea is scale, I think. You have enough users and then it makes you
Yeah, this Acorns I thought was a pretty good app. I downloaded it cuz I thought maybe I could show it to my kids and say, hey, you know, you buy stuff on your phone anyway. Why don't you just do this? And
if I ever get an accidental million or something from the IRS or something where I might have to give it back in the future, I'm just going to put that in my money marking savings account so at least I can generate some interest.
Yeah.
Now, do I get to keep that even though I give back the original million? Like, oh, we actually gave you a million, and then they don't ask for it back for like 6 months, so I just bury it in a
No, they take the whole million. They take everything.
No,
including
they
interest.
The million, but they would take the interest. Why?
They would probably take the interest. Dude.
Why? It's not my fault.
Because
that's
you weren't,
money. That's interest they would have been making.
Yeah, you would. They,
no,
they,
because they probably wouldn't have the same rate that I was getting.
Well,
so
you can't say that for sure.
You would. I mean, they would take everything. It's a bank. They can do whatever they want to do.
No. I deny them that. I will go
you know,
to court.
It would be great. I'd love,
I'll
you know,
see
I'm,
you
I'm
in
with
court.
You on that. I'm with you on that.
What are you drawing today, Len?
Oh, I'm doing, yeah, that's a good question. is the main story
out.
Twitch? Is the main?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm drawing.
All right.
It's a very simple,
It's
a very simple, silly little drawing.
All right.
Eh.
I didn't know if you were going to flip to one of the top stories or not.
No, I decided to do something just very colorful and fun.
Yeah.
Kind of literal and, you know.
All right. I like it. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah. It should be fun.
Did you?
Because you're
any...
wondering, like, what are you doing? You're sitting there. You're not doing anything. Usually.
No. I was actually just wondering because that Twitch one, I'm like, well, that's not straightforward to draw.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, that's not a fun one. But, you know, it's I've never done anything for Twitch, and so I figured
I'd
just do something silly.
It's about
it's a very
time.
Colorful. You'll see it. It's very colorful and fun.
Is
it's
it
just this palette.
Cheer by? Can I cheer with bits?
You can cheer with bits. Yes.
Thank goodness, Jen's here.
Cheer with bits.
Wait, Jen, we can't hear you suddenly.
Uh-oh.
I saw you saying something.
There we go.
Oh.
Okay, good.
Oh, I hope you don't think we've been ignoring you.
No, I hadn't said much. Don't worry. No, the creative section of Twitch is actually interesting. Like sometimes when I'm working, I'll put on a live stream of either what Adobe's showing off or someone doodling. It's kind of relaxing.
I think this is an interesting thing for them to do.
Is that what they did with Bob Ross? Put him on a Twitch channel.
Yeah, and Power Rangers. They did that whole Power Rangers marathon that I watched way too much of.
Didn't they do Julia Childs too, I think?
Yes, that was how they launched the food section.
Yeah.
And the only thing I ever was interested in the food portion was you never got Martin Yan if Yan can.
Oh, Yan Cook.
Of course.
Great.
Man,
I used
I
to watch
that
it
all the time.
It was actually funny when he first started out. He'd make all sorts of jokes. Like, oh, I'm going to show you how to make an ancient Chinese cabbage roll. He takes a head of cabbage and he rolls it off the chop.
Hilarious.
Just had a dice of chicken.
All right.
Yan can cook.
Well, Yan can cook and we can talk.
All right. Yeah, there we go. I'm going to hide.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Here
think so?
We go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, April 21st, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt. Joining me today is Jen Cutter. Good to have you back on the show, Jen.
Always a pleasure. Please pardon my lovely background here.
Oh, yeah. If you're watching on the video, she has a lovely binary blanket, early vintage Think Geek.
Yep, lots of constructions going on, some renovations, and then I will get to show off my new space and shoot new videos. I've been teasing it forever, and it's finally going
to
happen.
Looking forward to that. Len Peralta alongside as well to illustrate the show. Are you just going to draw her blanket?
Yes, I am. Actually, I'm waiting for it to fall, and then there's going to be like a crazy. No, I don't know. I am. I don't have anything as nice as Jen. It's just more of a mess. But
you have some excellent original Len Peralta art behind you.
I do. I'm so used to seeing it. But,
and I have
so I guess that's interesting.
As well as some original Len Peralta art.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit about Twitch's new streaming programs that will pay you. They'll pay you some money, even if you're not a Twitch partner. But first, here's some tech things you should know. Qualcomm confirmed that Windows 10 PCs running on Snapdragon 835 chips, that's right, Windows 10, full Windows 10 on ARM, will arrive in Q4. Does this interest you, Jen, real quick? I'm curious if, you know, battery-efficient, power-efficient Windows 10.
I was actually going to ask you, what's the market for this? Are these for people who want a fast machine on the go who aren't doing, like, heavy kind of work?
Yeah, the idea would be Qualcomm could put in one of their ultra-fast LTE modems. It'd be super light. It'd be always on, so you'd never have to boot up. It'd be more power efficient. Basically, the benefits of a mobile device, but with full Windows 10.
I can see my dad wanting one of those.
Yeah, maybe. Sad news, Dr. Harry Husky has died at age 101. Dr. Husky was a member of the team that built ENIAC back in 1946. He also worked on Alan Turing's ACE, the automatic computing engine. So, I mean, 101, I should be so lucky to live a full life like that. And one of the pioneers. Now here are some more top stories. Samsung and Google announced that Google Play Music will be the default music player on Samsung phones and tablets, starting with the Galaxy S8. Samsung users will get a free 3-month trial of the paid service. That includes YouTube Red, so you'd be no commercials on YouTube. You can upload 100,000 songs to Google Play Music for free if you're a Samsung user. Usually you can only upload 50,000 for free without paying extra storage costs. I'll be honest, I know that this probably isn't a big deal for a lot of people, but as someone who uses Google Play Music, I found this very attractive. I just really wish phones would let you make your own defaults for everything, browsers and everything. But interesting partnership here, don't you think?
It is, and I can't wait to see what happens in Canada, because things like YouTube Red don't exist here still.
Yet, right? I mean, seriously, YouTube owns the platform. I know that they probably had to work out different deals with their advertisers for that, but come on. It can't be impossible to use.
Yeah, well, we only got Amazon Video recently with the launch of the Grand Tour. And until that point, like, it was like, oh, it comes to Amazon Video. I'm like, well, that's nice. Doesn't help me any.
What about the S8? You guys, I mean, it launched today, April 21st. Is it hot up there?
They have been advertising heavily during the playoffs. Or hockey playoffs, I should be specific. I don't know about basketball. So they're going after the Canadian market. They're not ignoring us this time.
Yeah. And I know here, it's basically AT&T. T-Mobile is not usually, like, I looked at Best Buy today and they didn't have a T-Mobile version of it. Is it Rogers and Shaw up there mostly or what?
You know, I haven't checked yet. I'm about 6 months away from needing a new phone, and then I'll be hardcore into that and bugging you all the time.
Well, yesterday's show, Justin Robert Young and I talked about the report that sources said Google was working on an ad blocking within Chrome. And we went off, I'll be honest, we went off a little half-cocked about the idea of antitrust and whether this would be a good idea. Justin had the prescience to say, well, wait a minute, what if Google gets together with other companies? And I said, well, the downside to that would be the other companies don't need to do this necessarily if it would piss off advertisers. Turns out Justin was dead on. Stu Ingus, Council to the Coalition for Better Ads, told Ad Age that its members are discussing the adoption of technology that would prevent browsers from displaying ads that don't meet its standards. Exactly what the rumor was saying Google was working on for Chrome, and it's not just Google. It would include blocking auto-playing video ads, pop-up ads, ads that flash or change colors rapidly, and Coalition for Better Ads includes Google in its membership, but also Microsoft, the Interactive Advertising Bureau, the Association of National Advertisers. So the advertisers would be on board with this. And Inga said they are just starting their meetings about this, but they expect a blocking mechanism to be in place in browsers before the end of the year, and said an independent monitoring group would be set up to oversee the project. So from yesterday sounding like an impossibility or maybe even a bad idea for Google to today being the ideal, which is an industry standard with advertisers on the one hand and browser makers on the other, figuring out how to build in responsible ad blocking that doesn't block all the ads. So the companies who want to make money off ads still can, but blocks the abusive ads the customers don't like.
I love it. Obviously we need to see it in practice first, but like for you, me, everyone listening and watching right now, we're running ad blockers. We know how to protect ourselves. We know how to fix things if things go wrong, but we're not everyone on the internet, and taking care of those people who may not know how to do this stuff, I think is a huge step forward.
Yeah, I agree. And privacy tracking would be a good thing. And not to get greedy, I'm glad they're doing this much, but some kind of privacy tracking that says, hey, let me decide if it's okay for you to track me across sites. That's why I run Privacy Badger, because it says, hey, we notice these guys are tracking you no matter where you go. You may not want that. So you get to control that. And I think that would be the next thing after this to look into. Mm-hmm. Hey, the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, or CRTC for short, has ruled that ISPs can't do zero rating. They can't exempt certain types of content from counting towards a data cap. The decision stems from a complaint against wireless carrier Videotron, which was zero rating music services like Spotify or Google Music, things like that. This is pretty common here in the United States. T-Mobile in particular does zero rating without charging anybody for it. They just zero rate music, but they wouldn't be able to do it in Canada, Jen.
It's always nice to see a CBC story make the news down south. What a lot of Canadians want and are very slowly but loudly fighting for, we have the lowest data caps of any kind of first world country. And introducing zero rating would give all of these big organizations a way to, like for Bell, for example, they got shot down a couple of years ago when they were trying to promote their own services because, you know, their cable, their internet, their music, their everything. Now with no zero rating, Open Media and other organizations of that type are going to be fighting even harder, saying, okay, great. Now that you can't do this, give us reasonable data caps, give us unlimited, at least as an option, which it just doesn't exist here.
Yeah. And that's why it's interesting to see different countries having different attitudes toward this. In the United States, the attitude towards zero rating is fairly lax. And I think that's because there is the closest thing to competition in an ISP market that I've seen ever in the United States. And all of the major providers in the US are doing unlimited. So zero rating is sort of irrelevant. Even though you're zero rating on T-Mobile, it's going to affect very few plans. In a situation like you're talking about, zero rating picks winners and losers. If I only have 10 gigabytes, 5 gigabytes a month, I'm going to use the music service that doesn't eat into that because I want to save that for other things. And India has the same situation. Whereas, on the other hand, a lot of African countries are fine with zero rating because they have even lower data caps. And they're like, well, we want to be able to use stuff at all. So it's that middle ground where either you don't have unlimited, but you don't have super low data caps, or it seems like people start to turn against it.
Yeah, I was in Buffalo a couple of months ago, and with my brother, we were both just getting angry when we see the advertisements for U.S. cell phone plans. We're thinking like, well, you know, would it cost that much to get a U.S. number and just like, you know, get the unlimited long distance plan and use it up here?
Sure. I mean, it would be tempting, right? Especially with somebody like T-Mobile, that the unlimited does apply to Canada.
Well, I'm sure people up here are already doing it.
Yeah. I do feel like when you foster competition, when the governmental role of making sure there's an open playing field works, some of these issues go away. I don't know that the Canadian system would accommodate that, unfortunately, the way it's set up.
But. Well, the CRTC has a lot of roles. I'm not the foremost expert on this, but a lot of it is also for protecting Canadian content because we are right next to the States and it's so easy to flood the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wonder if there's going to be any kind of Canadian mandate for the zero rating kind of stuff in the future.
That would be really interesting if the Canadian content laws got mixed in so that a certain percentage of your data cap had to be made free for Canadian content. They could zero rate Canadian content. I don't know. There's something there. Elon Musk told WaitButWhy.com that Neuralink, a company he recently became the main investor in, and it sounds like he's going to be the CEO of, will bring a product to market within 4 years. That product would be meant to help people with severe brain injury, usually due to something like cancer or stroke. And Neuralink thinks its brain-computer interface could be about 8 to 10 years away to be usable by healthy people. Now, these are not necessarily the neural lace that we talked about. That's the ideal, where they just put this lightweight thing inside your brain. That requires safe brain surgery, but it could be external interfaces or even minimally invasive electrodes or something like that. Jen, do you want to be able to control computers with your brain? And how much? How much cutting into your head will you tolerate to do it?
Oh, well, I am a hockey player, so head injuries are
you're saying you've already paved the way. There's an easier access there.
I'm such a cynic when it comes to this kind of stuff. The article starts off saying, oh, we want to help people who've had these life-changing experiences get access to the technology. And then immediately segues to, and then everybody will get it. I'm like, so are you doing this because you want to control a computer with your mind or because you actually want to help people?
Let's be clear. I would like to control a computer with my mind. I think it's smart to do it to help injured people because that's where it's necessary most. And that's where you should start. But eventually, you know, I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be able to take advantage of that too, right?
Well, at that point, when it crosses over into gaming, I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get it.
There's always
that.
Something. Well, and Elon Musk, you know, he was probably getting bored only running two companies now that he merged his solar panel company into Tesla. So he needed another company on his plate, too.
Okay, so there's Tesla and then SpaceX and now this one?
Yeah. And so SolarCity went into Tesla. So now he's got a third one again. Thank you.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, good. He's keeping busy.
Yeah. I don't want to see that guy get bored. Not to mention the boring company that he has also started to bore a hole between SpaceX and LAX. Also a true thing. The Telegraph reports the German company Lilium has completed its first test flight in Munich of a vertical takeoff and landing jet designed for commuters, sort of a flying car. In other words, the Lilium jet is powered by an electric battery with a range of 300 kilometers and can travel up to 300 kilometers an hour. So you can travel in it for an hour before it has to land and recharge. Prototype seats 2 people, but Lilium has developed a version they say can seat up to 5. The idea is to create a ride-hailing service that would use these vehicles. And they use the example of operating in New York City, where they believe they could take people from JFK Airport, which is about a 55-minute ride from downtown New York in Manhattan. They could take people from JFK Airport to downtown New York in 5 minutes at a cost of $6. Uber and Airbus, by the way, are also working on vertical takeoff and landing aircraft for similar reasons. That's hard to believe, especially the $6 part.
Yeah. Like vertical takeoff, always cool.
Yes.
It's hard to argue with that. It's nice to see that someone is a big fan of the Jetsons and they're making it work.
Yeah, and this video of the prototype flight is impressive. It looks like it flies well. Of course, it's their produced video, so they're probably showing the best parts of the flight, not the part where it got all shaky or anything like that. But it sounds like it's a real thing. And we talk a lot about autonomous cars on the roads, but it looks like autonomous cars in the air are also doing well, which brings up a whole other host of regulatory issues and flight paths and things like that.
For the self-driving cars and now in the air, I have never had more sympathy for lawmakers. This cannot be fun or exciting. Like, it's great for consumers who will eventually get the benefit of this tech, but trying to deal with all of, like, so in my case, city, provincial, federal, and then you've got all of the insurance companies for every kind of insurance. Are you walking on the street when one of these falls? Does it hit your house? Now what?
there is airspace. Let's take New York City that is used for helicopter tours and things like that, that could be allocated for a certain number of these kinds of services. There's definitely space to land. That's why people do want to do vertical takeoff and landing, because it makes it easier to find places to park these things, because you can use tops of buildings and stuff like that. Again, you can use helipads. But as soon as you want more than one company, which is what you would need for this to really reach scale, right? It starts to crowd the airspace.
Well, Canada passed much tougher laws on drones, so I look forward to us being 20 years behind when this thing happens, right? In the States.
We also have pretty restricted drone usage, quadcopter usage. And if you suddenly have the Jetsons flying back and forth from JFK to downtown New York, again, I totally want this. I'm not trying to be tech negative here, but it raises a lot of issues that need to be worked out. That doesn't mean they can't be worked out. I think we will see something like this happen. It's exciting, but it's not as simple as it looks. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in less than 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. Keep yourself up to date. Hey, Twitch announced a new affiliate program Friday. This is different than the one we talked about Wednesday. Wednesday, we talked about the fact that they've added a $10 a month and $25 a month subscription option for partnered streamers. But now anybody can become an affiliate. Pretty much anybody. You don't have to be approved. With a partner stream, you have to be approved by Twitch. This would not need to be approved. You just have to have 500 minutes of streaming within the last 30 days, have had at least 3 concurrent viewers, which is almost nothing, and 50 followers. Once you're in the affiliate program, your viewers can then buy bits for cheering with bits. They're basically little emotes that people can put in chat to have fun with. It's something that's existed for partnered streamers now. You'll get one as an affiliate. And they say more monetization options are coming. Things like subscriptions, game commerce, advertising is all in the works for affiliates as well. Invites will start going out to streamers who qualify over the next several weeks. They're just kind of slowly rolling this out. But eventually, anybody who qualifies will be able to get in. And to set partners apart a little more, they're offering a new verified chat badge to partners, so it'll be easier to tell when you're looking at a partner and when you're looking at an affiliate. All right, this is a lot. This is a lot of stuff Twitch has thrown at people this week, and it's all money, Jen. What do you make of all this?
Well, I want to highlight a few other differences between Twitch affiliates and Twitch partners. Twitch affiliates will not get access to things like stream delay. So if you are an affiliate and playing a competitive game, you're going to have to manage the delay on your own so you're not getting stream sniped. And you also do not get transcode options, which is something that non-partnered streamers have wanted since the dawn of time, just so that you can control the quality. Like when I'm on mobile, I don't want to watch things at, you know, 1080, 70p. I want a lighter.
Especially when you're on that data cap. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there are more than just cosmetic differences between affiliates and partners. Now, Twitch is always going to get the better end of the deal that they themselves create. But something like bits and cheering, it's kind of been a mixed bag for people who don't quite get why it's important for people. Because if I donate money to you through PayPal, I can charge it back and you're going to get dinged on the fees. If you buy bits to cheer with from Twitch and charge it back, Twitch is not going to penalize the stream that those bits were donated to. So it's a little more secure in terms of accepting donations from your fans who do want to support you, which is awesome.
Does it work well enough for small audiences? That was the thing I thought, is that when you have a big Twitch following, the chat room kind of educates itself. People understand, like, oh, that's why that's cool. I want to buy those so I can do that too. If you've only got a handful of people, though, are people really going to want to cheer with bits?
I've been kind of stymied. There are some really nice family-friendly streams out there that aren't huge because it's a smaller audience of people who are watching with their kids or trying to find kid-approved streams. And it's like, oh, I want to support this. I have no way to support this other than telling my friends that this exists. So it's sometimes nice because not everyone wants to set up a Patreon or any kind of GoFundMe thing. So to do all of this native to the app that works between mobile and PC and Mac, whatever, it's kind of nice to have. It is becoming a bit of a walled garden, but it is nice to have the option.
And Twitch is pitching this as sort of an easier way to get people into the partner program. They're saying, you know, this helps you build that audience because they can start supporting you earlier. I don't know if I buy that so much. The ability to support is great, especially if, like one of those family streamers that you're talking about, you've got a small but dedicated audience. It doesn't mean that audience will end up growing any faster, though.
No, but it is a bone to that community. It's been, people haven't really felt that Twitch has only been talking to the partners, only concerned with the partners, and all of the people who make up that whole vast community just felt ignored. And this is a huge thing to make them feel like, oh, wait, we are valued. They do want us here. This is a place that is welcoming. Even if it doesn't grow, at least you have these options available to you. You still shouldn't, you know, apply for the partner program if you've only got, you know, 20 viewers and two concurrent. But at least you're closer to the affiliate. You've got this nice middle ground.
And granted, covering this wide, I mean, this is, you know, a much, much larger number of people that will be brought into the affiliate program. So it's not cost free for Twitch to roll this out. They have to monitor all of this now, but they also make more money than they would if they didn't include all of these people.
I am likely to buy more bits as a result of this change once all the invitations go out.
That's what so they want to hear. That's they all they were waiting to hear. Yeah.
And once affiliates get to choose rolling out ads as opposed to like some autoplay ads, like I finally broke down and got Twitch Prime because I was tired of every time I checked out a new channel, I had to sit through this 30-second ad, driving me nuts. So once Prime became more useful in Canada, I was like, all right, great. I'm buying Prime. I'm never going to watch another ad on Twitch again.
So Twitch definitely has the lead, especially for video game streams. How do you think this affects things like Beam or YouTube gaming?
Well, it's hard to get big on YouTube gaming. The discovery is very hard. A lot of people that I know on YouTube gaming tend to simulcast to kind of just try to get as many people on whichever program they can. And then Beam has done a really big push in integrating their, because of their tied with Microsoft. So on Xbox One and on Windows 10, streaming is like a two-click process. You don't even have to sign up because they've done some name reservation voodoo on their own. And Beam does have a partnership program. Now, Beam's partnership program has gone the other way from the way Twitch has made their affiliate program more widespread. Because Beam used to be like, oh, if you have like, what was it here? Let me scroll down and find it. So 300 viewers and 300 followers, 30 concurrent viewers. I feel that's a reasonable
aim
for getting access to Beam's partnership thing. There is a 3-month grace period for people who are existing Beam users who are aiming for partnership. If you are a new Beam user, which I think a lot of people will be new as the dashboards and Windows 10 updates are rolled out, you kind of have to aim for 10,000 followers and at least 50 concurrent viewers.
That's a big jump.
It is. Like 50 concurrent viewers I get. 10,000 followers is a huge leap.
10,000 followers should almost guarantee 50 concurrent viewers. Like that's a ridiculous ratio.
Even if you aren't consistent, like if sometimes you're in the morning, sometimes you're in the night as your stream schedule, I really feel that's doable.
Yeah.
I hope it's not encouraging the wrong kind of thing where you just sign up for all these accounts. Because botting is a problem on Twitch that they're working on. This is just asking for it on Beam.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is this also may bring in a few more of those non-video game streamers that Twitch is actively courting by opening up what you can stream on Twitch with its talk shows and food and creativity categories. So if it's easier to get in and start making money, then more people may decide to choose it.
Yeah, and the bigger the base for Twitch, the more data Amazon gets from all of us, and they're happy too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. It helps us come up with these great topics. You can submit stories and vote on them yourself. Go join in the fun at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. On to a few emails before we're out of here. First of all, Greg wrote in and was one of the many people who corrected us. We had a misimpression about Google Home's new user accounts, and we underemphasized one of the benefits. The misimpression was that you couldn't use a Google Home account or a Google Home. You couldn't ask a Google Home something if you didn't have an account now. That's not true. And one, the thing that we underrepresented was what Greg's talking about. He says, first of all, keep up the great work. I continue to love the show and be a proud Patreon supporter. Thank you for starting with a positive, Greg. Based on what I've seen with my Google Home and the multi-user setup process, I don't think this was intended to prevent people who aren't set up as a user of Google Home from using it. Google's 33-second video focuses on allowing the Home to now return results specific to each user's accounts. I'm not sure if this is limited to telling you what's on your calendar or might affect media playback. The Google Home Multiple Users Help article mentions that guests or housemates who haven't linked their Google account to the home can still listen to music, cast, and control home-controlled devices. Google could be clearer on this point. I did some testing using an online text-to-speech tool after training my home to recognize my voice, and my home responded to the English UK female voice for the trigger word, both to who is the president and what is a whopper. As a male from Ohio, my voice should be pretty different from the English UK female voice I was using on the voice to, the text-to-speech translator. And based on this, I don't think this feature will prevent TV shows or even podcasts from triggering a Google Home. So thank you, Greg, for clearing that up. Now, on to voice-activated devices and whether they should or should not be limiting how they're triggered. Mark writes, if the companies are actually concerned with accidental triggering, why not allow customers the ability to customize their trigger words? Then every person in the house only needs to know the word that activates that individual device. I'm thinking that this would be important when things like voice-activated lights or practical appliances are connected to the system in your house. If you have to get a voice print before you can turn on the lights, that could cause some problems. So yeah, taking what Greg was saying about Google Home still works for guests, even for things like controlling lights, that means a bad television commercial could control your lights, conceivably. But if you could customize the trigger word to be like, hey, Frogman, then it's not going to work because everybody's going to have different trigger words. Doesn't that make sense? Do you even use any of these kind of devices, Jen?
Oh, I disabled Siri and Cortana as my first move. But in terms of this customizing thing, I love it. I'm stunned that this isn't an option. You know, we tell people do not use password, do not use default anything for every other device. Why wouldn't you do this for this always-on connected thing? It's genius.
Yeah.
And also, you know that video game and anime fans are going to name their boxes for things that make them happy. And I kind of like that too.
I'm sure it's about performance. If you limit the number of trigger words that can be used, then you make sure that you've trained your AI to always respond to the right word. Whereas if everybody can customize it, you might get some things that don't trigger quite as nicely as they do now. But at some point, that trade-off is going to be acceptable. And the voice recognition is getting better and better to where it's probably not that big of a deal.
I like it. I hope they're working on it.
Yeah. If anybody has a good reason why you shouldn't offer customizable trigger words in these, let us know. Regarding Amazon finally coming to Australia, Nick writes, as a consumer, I'm really happy about this because we've gotten a rather raw deal, not just on pricing, as Tom mentioned, but also selection. I've been using Amazon and other US and Japanese-based websites that ship to Australia since around the year 2000, because while Australian retailers may technically stock a line like Hasbro's collector-oriented Transformers Generations toy line, there's no guarantee they'll stock every figure in the line or even order sufficient quantities, leaving the shelves bare at times. However, as I'm a retail worker in a regional town at one of Australia's already struggling nationwide retailers, I'm also fearful of Amazon's arrival because I can see them being the final nail in the coffin for my job. And he went on to say he hopes that he'll be able to interview with Amazon at one of their fulfillment centers. Do you remember a time before Amazon came to Canada?
I remember having anything ordered online being very difficult to get in Canada. When the .ca appeared, I was happy.
Yeah.
It did cut down on my shopping in store. And then stores like Future Shop used to be a big thing up here. Eventually they merged with Best Buy, and then Future Shop went goodbye and closed all those stores. Yeah, there are a couple things for tech that I will still buy in person, especially I have a Costco membership, and that is the best place to buy tech when they have what you want.
Yeah, I think Nick's right. It's a double-edged sword. One, you don't have to pay the big shipping cost to order from across the ocean, especially horrible in Australia. But if you're working in the retail sector, this is a big challenge. It's something at Walmart in the US is even, they just bought Jet.com because they're trying to figure out how to compete with Amazon.
Walmart.ca is really good shipping too. I have used that in the past, and the in-store pickup's kind of nice. I think more hybrids like that are going to become popular as both online and brick stores try to find their relevance in this world.
Well, that is it for today's show. Thank you, Jen Cutter, as always, for joining us. If people want to find out more about what you're doing, what should they do?
Well, my Twitter is @JenCutter, which will have everything. That's Jen with two N's. And there will be a redesign for GenCutter.com and OpenAlpha.tv rolling out in the next couple of weeks. I'm very, very excited about all this.
And all of that cool stuff happening behind your blanket.
Yes, that will also be revealed. It'll be prettier, I promise.
Speaking of pretty, Len Peralta's been doing some artwork. What do you got for us, Len?
Oh, you know, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I wanted to do something very spring-like with a lot of spring colors. This also shows my age as well, because I'm like, I don't fully understand Twitch, and I think that's because I'm an old man. But I do understand money streams and revenue streams, and that's sort of what I was getting at here. You know, you're riding. I think that Twitch is what I want people to do is ride and monetize that Twitch stream. And that's what this little gentleman is doing. Handful of cash, riding the stream, saying wahoo. And, you know, that's what it's all about, right? Making the money, getting the money out the Twitch stream. That's, you know, riding the stream, right?
At the water slide park.
Yeah, that's what the kids say these days, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm fairly
sure.
See, now
I'm totally wondering if anybody has done a live stream with a GoPro at a water park going down a slide. I might kind of watch that.
Yes. I would cheer with my bits for that.
That sounds
is that
a little
not
bit strange.
How you say yeah. that?
You got it. Nailed it.
I'm always cheering with my bits. So.
I know you are, Len. I know you are. Yes. Well, no. This is fantastic. I love this little kid with the huge eye too. Like he's great.
You. Yeah, he's trying to be twitching. That was the whole point. But yes. So yeah, you can actually look at this right now at my online store, LenPeraltaStore.com. You can actually download it too as a digital download. It's that's right there. Or you can back me at Patreon, patreon.com/Len, and you can actually get this as a digital download as well. Every one that I do during the month, you'll get as a high-res image. So there you go. Have
hey. Speaking of Patreon, thanks to everybody who gives a little value back to this show for the value they get from it. That's the only way we work. We do this because we hope you get something out of it. And if you do, we just ask you to give a little bit of something back, like William Dunaway did, or Wade Menard, or Tom Fannis, and the many, many more. 4,500 plus people. Join them at patreon.com/DTNS. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. We will be back on Monday with Veronica Belmont. See you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Good show.
It was fun, as always.
Thank you. I agree. Yeah, Lau Roman.
Jen, you're always so happy.
Well, it's always fun to be doing this stuff. I've spent like the last months moving and going through all kinds of nonsense, so it's really nice to stream from the new place and get that all starting up again.
That's great.
Yes. You just have a happy voice. It's so happy to listen to.
Aw, thanks.
Roger, we can't hear you. I think Roger's trying to tell us some titles. And now he is rage
and now
quit.
He's gone.
He has rage quit his browser. And he will
no cheering. I'm not cheering with my bits for him there.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. I think Len just expressed what I think will end up being the title, but
what did he say?
He said I would cheer with my bits for that.
Okay. I would cheer with my
did
bits
you like
for that,
that one? We don't have to go with that, but
Zoe brought the bacon today.
Zoe brings bacon has that on showbot.tv, so
yeah, I like that.
What else you got that you like on there, Roger though?
Twitch's bits pitch. New Twitch pitch.
Sounds very Rick and Morty somehow.
Musk on my mind. I love that show. Scratch that Twitch.
Scratch that Twitch.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Little island, I guess, little emotes. Not to knock it, nth mic. There weren't that many. I only have 7.
Yeah.
Titles.
I would cheer with my bits for that.
Twitch's bits pitch. Twitch pitches bits. It's like a Dr. Seuss
hard,
thing.
Here. It's hard not to go wrong saying that.
Yeah, you know, it's, yeah. I
sense
remember
the hesitation.
No, I remember a time before Amazon was like, was doing stuff before
Roger
books.
Craftily changes the subject.
did I change the subject over?
Yeah. That was a good move. Sorry I called attention to it. It was just so good.
That's what you do, right? Right? I learn from the best.
Yeah, there you go.
I watch press conferences. I see how they work their magic.
Yeah. Pivot.
Pivot. Talking about national debt. You know, you guys have problems with your underwear just riding up too high. Well, we're going to introduce a new law. I was thinking about the Australian thing. It's kind of weird. Like, on the weekends, you get retail. I'm not sure if all retail. I think all retail and service workers get additional pay for working the weekend, right? For Saturday, Sundays.
Where?
Going in Australia.
Oh,
right?
Is that right?
Yeah, like if you work beyond the weekend.
That sounds familiar to me, yes.
They call them penalty rates, I think. I don't remember too much. Because I also remember that your pay was, your minimum pay wage was also dictated by your age. Like if you, as soon as you moved up to a certain age bracket, it would go up. But that was a while ago. I'm not sure if that's still the same. I just remember bits and pieces from my old girl.
Would you cheer with those bits?
I cheered with a lot of things, Tom. Including old plastic nunchucks.
I have a pair of those you brought me from Japan.
I know. Remember? I was like, oh, what am I going to get you? I'm stuck in Japan. Well, I'm not stuck in Japan. I'm in Japan. It's like, let me go to Osaka and then find sports gear for the opposing team at their local stadium and see how well everyone likes that. And apparently it was fine because I paid and they left me alone, unmolested.
One of my favorite memories of being in Japan last year was it being in Hiroshima, and the Hiroshima Carp were about to clinch the playoffs, and we went into this mall. It's basically, you know, they have these all over Japan. It's a train stop, but it's also a huge mall, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we just went into this grocery store to find some snacks, and it was just filled with people dressed in their carp gear. there was a woman in like a geisha outfit, except it was all said Hiroshima Carp and had baseball bats on it. There was a woman dressed as a carp,
like an actual fish.
Mascot look.
Yeah. And then of course there were, most people just had hats and, you know, jerseys on for their favorite players and stuff. But it was just such a cool feeling because I'm like, man, these people are so excited for something I'm barely aware is happening because I looked it up online.
Their logo is pretty awesome.
The C is just like the Cincinnati Reds, but
I'm looking at this little kid.
Oh yeah. The little Hiroshima Carp guy.
Yeah. It's awesome. I'd wear that.
They were so excited. They were pumped.
Oh, yeah.
It was just cool being around that.
Green hair. That's
a cool logo.
Carp.
They have a mascot, too. Look at that.
Wasn't there another fish team? Oh, no, that's right. That's the Fukuoka Hawks. I think maybe it's Osaka. There's the pufferfish. There's a pup team that has a pufferfish as their thing.
Interesting.
I don't know what it's called.
There used to be a Japanese hockey team that had a teddy bear logo that I loved. Too hard to get a jersey over here. And now I can't find it online. But,
oh, that's too bad.
It was a great jersey.
That's great.
Yeah, it's so weird buying clothes that don't normally have like LXL. It was just small, medium, and free.
Free?
Free. That's the size it got you. Free was just basically anything should
fit. One size fits all.
Yeah, it should fit any normal Japanese person. I don't think it would fit any me at this point in my life. Going clothes shopping in Japan is one of the most depressing things ever. I
found
a
large Hiroshima Carp t-shirt in the department store that I bought.
Oh, did you go to one of those multi-tiered department stores where they have people that direct traffic?
Yeah. Direct you
it's
on
like
the
they have traffic wardens inside the department store tell people to go which is the escalators, you know, don't walk down this aisle because everyone's coming the opposite direction.
Who are you supporting in the playoffs, Jen?
Well, I was actually going to have my Toronto Maple Leafs blanket behind me, but it was white and basically see-through.
I guess that makes sense. You're near Toronto.
But I'm also thrilled that the Penguins clinched, are moving on. I love the Preds. They're doing well.
Wow,
and I'd like to see the Blues go on, too.
Thank you. That warms my heart to hear you say that.
Are you cheering? You're not a basketball fan, you said. Are you cheering on the Raptors?
I'm happy for them, but it's not a sport that I watch.
Okay. Well, they got spanked last night by the Bucks. Man, they got spanked.
I like how you're like, you're not a fan of this because they suck.
Well, no, I think it'll be a pretty competitive series, but they got posed, man, last night by the Bucks. They just got owned.
Hey, well, Edmonton lost like 7-0 to the Sharks and then came back the next game to win an OT.
Anything is possible. Like the Cavs came down 26. They overcame a 26-point deficit to win the game against Indiana last night. And what happened to, you mentioned the Preds. The Preds are on fire right now.
Now, Columbus, to be fair, had a ton of injuries of like big name players.
Yeah.
But I love the Preds. I think they're a good team, fun to watch. And of course, you can't go wrong with PK Subban. He's the greatest.
I'm just happy to see that they knocked off the Blackhawks.
Also a plus. I love Jonathan Taves, but everybody else can just forget it.
I'm glad. Oh, I feel like I'm among friends.
I was like, wow, I didn't really expect to see that.
Apologies, but... Chicago fans.
Yes.
Fine.
Sorry.
There was time I cheered for the Blackhawks because I was in Chicago at a hockey game with my Chicago friends, and they were playing the Red Wings. So I'm like, well, I actually hate the Red Wings a tiny bit more. So I guess I'll cheer for the Blackhawks.
You must have been thrilled when they lost the playoff. Didn't even make the playoffs then.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for Chicago because if the Blackhawks are doing bad, the Bulls are actually doing really well. So
well, and the Cubs.
Yeah. And the Cubs, right? So
the Cubs have now cursed every other Chicago team.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe. Interesting. So when you start streaming, are you going to be streaming on Twitch, Jen?
Yeah, most likely. That's where I tend to spend the most time. I've tried watching, like, there's also Hitbox.tv, which gets pushed out because they partnered with Azubu. So they're going to relaunch something maybe later this year that's going to be very competitive gaming focused. And that I'm waiting to see because I know that, the big esports corporations would love a stream that they could control a bit better and give a better viewer experience while also pushing more ads.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm really looking forward to whatever they come up with to give it a shot.
I'm familiar with Hitbox, but I don't know Azubu.
They were one of the early like League of Legends streams. If you wanted to watch League of Legends, you had to go there. And
gotcha.
Like certain CSGO events are only there.
Those are anything League of Legends is outside of my experiential zone, unfortunately, because I'm old. I do know the rules of bingo, though, because I'm old. I think that's what Lau Roman was going for in the chat room earlier.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I know.
Yeah.
I sort
bingo
of remember
has rules? They call a number, you mark it, right?
Yeah. And then if you get all five in a row, then
that's
you
right.
win.
Bingo.
Yo, bingo.
First.
And you collect your blender or whatever you need. The worst ones are when you go to a charity function, and it's always like, someone donated something. There's always that one cool thing that everyone wants, and they, everyone plays for that one. It's like, ah.
I used to play bingo at home. My parents would just play bingo.
Do you have like a roller for the balls and everything?
I can't remember what. I think it was just a jar that they just pulled randomly.
Used to play Keno up in Reno when I was in grade school.
And I played real bingo at the church when I was growing up, but I don't think I've played bingo since.
Yeah, working bingo was, you had to do that when the kids went to the school, and I hated working bingo because you came home and you smelled like nicotine. It smelled just, you smelled awful.
You smelled like everyone who was in the bingo hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When I walked into the house, I just went straight down to the laundry room and threw everything in the laundry. Like, they knew when I came home because I smelled so bad.
You smell like winnings.
Not even close.
All you do is win, win, win.
I wish.
I like that.
I still have fantasies of driving up to Vegas just to play a round of blackjack.
Mm. Let's or do it roulette. This weekend, Roger.
I'm not even good with gambling, but I remember Garrett. Remember Garrett Funabiki?
Oh yeah.
I dragged him to take my old job at Tech TV so I could get the newer, cooler job at Tech TV. He won like $500 on roulette. He just walked by and put all like whatever money he had left and just put it there. That's just right. Let anyone. Like,
doesn't that drive you nuts?
Yes.
He's a really nice guy though. Like at least he wasn't.
He's still a nice guy. He hasn't passed away or anything.
My uncle went to Vegas and was just, he doesn't really gamble. He walked through the casino and they had those huge slot machines that you just pull. He won like $15,000.
What?
He just pulled it and then like he won his money. It's like, what?
My aunt was really cheesed because she was playing slots. I forgot which hotel. She didn't win anything, but then she came back to that same hotel, the same roll of slots, and some guy won like the $12 million, you know, because it's what do they call it? Cumulative, you know, score. It's like, I've only played 3 more hours. It's like, you would have played 3 more hours? I like, maybe, I guess. This wasn't meant to be. $12 million is not yours. It's that guy's. Just remember, he has to pay half of it in taxes. And then all his friends that he's never met will crawl out of the woodwork.
All right, folks. We are published. Thank you again for hanging out with us. Have a lovely weekend. I'll see you later.
That's right. It's Friday. Yay.
Bye. See you later.